None of this would matter. And leave some random, possibly catastrophic device hurtling through the galaxy to do who knows what? Kasher said. I don't think so. Pikpa shook her head and let out an ominous groan, then explained something to Kasher. First of all, Kasher said with a smirk, the Ewok word for non-Ewoks literally translates to naked, so you're welcome for that tidbit.
Pikpa's the only one not wearing pants here, Han pointed out. Except Chewie.
Yeah, it's about the hair, Kasher said. And they have a whole other name for Wookiees, I believe. And it's not derogatory like naked is.
Well, damn, Han said.
Anyway, Pikpa is tired of us nakeds leaving our big deal weapons scattered all over the galaxy for people to use all willy-nilly.
Can't argue with that, Lando muttered.
And second of all, she says it is a weapon, and it's a powerful one. At least it has the potential to be used that way, even if that's not its sole use. Whatever it is, the Empire being as eager as they were to get their hands on it should tell us all we need to know about whether it's okay to just leave it out there in the galaxy for anyone to find. Pikpa says it would be very, very...
Pikpa! Pikpa!
The Ewok insisted, cutting in. Then again, but with more emphasis.
Pikpa! Pikpa! Fuck it! Fuck it! Fuck!
She closed out the explanation, with both furry hands thrown up into the air, and a little explosive screech.
Very, very, very dangerous, Kasher finished. Even if Fison is out of the picture.
Chewie growled, and waved a fuzzy arm at the holomap.
Chewie's got a point, Han said. We're still working with a cold trail and a faulty signal, best we can tell. Maybe that old loopy Imperial might be of some help.
If he's even loopy at all.
Lando cocked an eyebrow, rubbing his goatee.
You know, the Empire was good for writing someone off once they were no longer of use.
And?
Wait a minute.
He hurried over to the holotable and pulled up a map of the galaxy. Studied it for a moment.
I knew it.
What?
Kasha asked.
Grava is in the Kalia sector.
Chewie roared a question.
Those.
Lando dug through his pockets, pulled out the small cloth sack they'd stolen from Poppy Dilu back on Frander's Bay.
The ficus. Flork's found traces of soil from Kalia sector on him.
Then we definitely have to pay the Admiral a visit,
Han said.
All right,
Lando said, leaning on his hands on the rim of the holodisplay.
Here it is. We have two ships now, so we split up. Chewie, you, Kasha, and Taka head to the last known transmission point of the Phalanx. See what you can find. Take my Ugnaught, too, since you might need some help with droids.
Pikpa ran across the room and latched onto Chewie's leg, muttering something excitedly.
Yeah, take the Ewok, too, Lando said. See if she can work out any kind of pattern for those transmission points.
Chewie nodded and let out a hoarse yelp, placing Pikpa on his shoulder.
Why is she so attached to you anyway?
Lando asked.
Turns out Chewie saved her sister's life in the Battle of Endor,
Han said.
So now she owes him fuzzy snuggles forever, apparently.
Well, shoot,
Lando said, nodding approvingly.
Personally, I'd take a life debt over fuzzy snuggles, but that's just me.
Lando looked at Kasha.
Stay alive for me, please, Kosh.
She wiggled her eyebrows.
Always, Land.
Good. And keep the rest of these troublemakers safe, too, while you're at it.
He chuckled, allowing the glow of her gaze to warm him for a few seconds.
All right,
he said, clicking back into General Calrissian mode and tapping some coordinates into the holotable computer.
Chewie, unless we hear from your team, we'll rendezvous at the last transmission spot.
Chewie agreed with a roar, turned toward the airlock.
Try not to ruin this ship, Taka called.
It's pretty.
Han, Free Rago's Satellite Motel, about 10 years ago. Han stood in a darkened motel corridor, blaster raised. He was trembling slightly, and he wasn't sure why. Okay, yes he was. This damn place gave him the heebie-jeebies, that was why. The motel behind Freerago's was as dingy as they came, with crumbling plaster ceilings, drip-dropping pungent liquids. At least now Han knew why folks always called it P-Rago's, though. Somehow, he'd gotten separated from Chewie, and because they were on the wrong side of the tracks on a worn-down Criffin satellite, his comm service was terrible. He'd tried reaching Sana, too, to let her know they had Fison on the run. Or did he have them on the run? Han wasn't so sure. But all he'd gotten in reply were scratchy blurts and snippets of other conversations. And the walls seemed to crawl with pesky little critters. Or maybe that was Han's imagination. Either way, he'd run hard down several corridors now and was out of breath and sweaty and chewy-less and without the damnedest idea where Gore had gotten to. Grunts and squeals and a staticky fizz of a poor-quality holocast reached him from the various rooms on either side of the hall. Something wet and gelatinous seeped from under the door nearest to him, its slowly rolling waves of muck reflecting shards of the blinking orange light at the far end of the hall. Han wasn't sure whether to go forward or back. It hardly seemed to matter. Fison could be anywhere, could have busted into any of these rooms, could be slowly creeping up this very corridor for all Han knew. The thought made Han spin around fast, too fast, and he collided with something, no, someone, who had been standing there in the darkness way too close. They were either made out of metal or wearing some thick armor. "Gah!" Han yelled, stumbling back a step and holding his blaster up.
"Oh, dear,"
a deep and solemn voice droned.
"Seems you've woken me up."
Two yellow mechanical eyes blinked open in the darkness, their glow illuminating the cracked and mold-stained surface of the far wall. "Why are you sleeping in the hallway?" Han demanded. The eyes blinked again, and now they were red. The droid's head swung to look directly at Han. He squinted, holding up a hand to block the glare.
"Kill,"
the droid seethed, its voice a shrill whisper.
"Kill."
"Whoa there, buddy," Han said, taking another step back. "No need to get grimy." With a whirring motion, the droid's arms rose and it plodded toward Han. "Hey," Han said. Then he let his blaster do the talking. The first shot singed the top of the droid's shoulder, lighting it up for a flickering moment. The second slammed home between the thing's eyes and knocked it backward. The two red bulbs still glared up at the ceiling.
"Kill,"
the droid moaned. A couple more blaster shots shut it up for good. There were footsteps approaching from behind when Han finished shooting. He spun, saw four sets of bright red eyes teetering toward him through the darkness, and ran backward, hopping over the first droid's still smoldering body and unleashing from his blaster on the rest as he went.
"Grava, now."
"See," Lando said, cheesing at the admittedly impressive Navicomp datapad. "Luxury."
"Yeah, yeah,"
Han said, clicking a few buttons and setting their course for the Grava system.
"Let's get to this weird little moon and find out what we gotta find out and be out."
Lando scoffed and wrapped his fingers around the stainless steel, untarnished hyperdrive thruster control.
"So grumpy. This will be like old times."
"Old times,"
Han scoffed. Lando clicked on the comm and raised the vermilion.
"We about to be out, y'all. Happy hunting, and may the Force be with you."
"Copy, General Calrissian," Taka said. "May the Force be with you."
Lando eased the thrusters forward and sighed as the stars leapt into a blurry haze around them.
"Old times," he said with a warm chuckle.
"You really miss those days?"
Han asked.
"Gallivanting around the galaxy and getting into any kind of trouble we could find?"
"I mean, when you put it that way," Lando said, laughing. "Yes."
Han rolled his eyes.
"I guess we had some fun."
"But seriously, I wouldn't go back. I made a lot of mistakes back then. Guess I had to make them to become the man I ended up. But still,
we both did,
Hans said quietly. And for a while, they let stars speed past in silence.
You think this'll end it?
Han asked.
I think it's bigger than we've realized, Lando said. I just don't know how yet.
Yeah,
Han said.
That's what I'm afraid of.
They slid out of hyperspace and roared toward a dusty red and orange moon with splotches of dark green and a few bright yellow expanses.
The asylum's on the crest of that mountain range, Lando said, as the rising and falling surface became clearer and clearer.
They burst through a thin cloud layer and then zoomed along over the tops of trees.
There,
Han said. Up ahead, an ancient fortress loomed over a rocky cliff like a stony outgrowth.
But what's that flickering in the air around it?
Something gleamed in the midday sun. It looked, Lando thought, like...
A dull thud brought the Chevalier into a skidding spiral across an invisible surface, crescenting through the sky. Alarms blurted out as the forest spun beneath them. Then the fortress itself.
Ray shield! Lando grunted. Blew out our secondary thrusters and maybe our shields too.
Both of them furrowed their brows as their hands flew across control panels.
Bring her down!
Han said over the bleeping alarms.
There should be an open patch.
They careened past the mountain and a wide desert plain stretched beneath them toward the horizon.
Right there,
Han finished, allowing himself a slight smile. Lando grimaced.
Gonna be a bumpy one.
Pshaw,
Han said.
Could do this with my eyes closed.
They banked over the last few treetops and then dropped suddenly. Lando scoffed, pulling hard on the thrusters and lifting the Chevalier's nose up just enough to keep them from catapulting into a disastrous tailspin.
I didn't say it was hard,
he said, careening right as a blast of desert wind rushed past.
I just said...
They plummeted into sudden freefall again, altitude alarms blaring, and then the thrusters burst back to life, lifting them back into the sky a few seconds from total destruction.
It was gonna be a...
Lando eased them down tail first, the uneven desert floor sending shudders and groans through the whole craft. The landing gear reached for purchase, and Lando slowly lowered the nose down as the whole shuttle screeched to a stop.
Bumpy one,
he finished, releasing the steering shaft and sitting back with a big old Lando grin plastered across his face. Han exhaled.
Seems like you're out of practice, old man. That cushy executive lifestyle has gone to your head.
Out of...
Lando grumbled.
Says the washed-up flight instructor.
Washed up?
Han clicked open the blast shield, letting a thick blast of desert heat into the cockpit.
Why, you self-serving, good-for-nothing, profiteering...
I could say the same about you,
Lando said, standing and shaking off the ache of light-speed travel.
You sit around, don't know how good you've got it, moping old...
Han grabbed a toolkit from under his seat.
Attention-starved, cape-wearing...
Lando picked up the datapad from under his.
None Wookiee savior complex heaven.
Han hopped out of the shuttle and headed over to the smoking wing thrusters.
Skirt-chasing, fear of commitment having.
Lando climbed out the other side and wired his datapad into the outer shield computer.
Negligent, tired, sloppy.
2 hours later, they met back up on the bridge as the sun began to set.
Glad we got all that done,
Han said.
Yep.
Lando wiped his hands on a silky embroidered hand towel.
I've been waiting to get that stuff off my chest for ages.
I meant the repairs, you old womp rat. Who knows how quickly we're going to need to jump out of here. And it's better we not have to pause on the way out.
Oh, right, Lando said. Shields are back up to full capacity.
Good. Wing thrusters are operational again, too.
Well, in that case,
Lando said, as the gangplank lowered to reveal the dazzling fortress spiraling along the mountaintop.
Shall we?
I believe we shall,
Han said. They walked off the ship and out into the desert, their shadows stretching long toward the tree line ahead.
Do you really think I'm sloppy?
What kind do you think it is?
Lando asked, gazing at the shimmering ray shield that rose up over the mountain.
Whatever it is, it's damn effective,
Han said.
Barely registers on the sensors. Can only kind of make it out here on the ground. That's expensive tech. And it nearly blew us to pieces, even with you pulling up just enough to skim the surface.
Still,
Lando scanned the perimeter.
There's gotta be a generator somewhere.
Could be anywhere. And anyway, then what? You want to blow it up? We're just here to ask some questions, not storm the castle.
Who are we going to question if we can't get in?
Maybe there's a doorbell somewhere. What's that?
Something moved along the slope off to the side. Two somethings, Lando realized. Hooded figures, walking down what must have been a stairwell hidden deep in the underbrush. Yes, there, a little below them, a stone gargoyle stood partially concealed by the underbrush. And farther down, a part of the banister could be seen between the lush green fronds.
Guess we could ask them,
Han said dubiously.
Looks like the stairwell lets out just over there.
They made their way to what turned out to be a small gate in the shield that stood at the front of the forest stairwell. The two hooded figures reached the gate soon after they did. One tapped something into a panel, and the gate slid open.
For a moment, the four of them just stared at one another. There wasn't much to make out beyond the slow rise and fall of their hunched-over shoulders with each breath.
"We're here to see one of your wards," Lando said. "Admiral Ruus Festent."
rasped one of them.
Admiral Festent.
I'm afraid that's not very helpful, Lando said.
Admiral Festent is not a ward,
the other said, spitting the word out as if it had gone sour in his mouth.
He is as all of us organics are,
again with obvious distaste.
A humble servant in this house of peace. And his name is not Admiral Festent anymore.
Han cocked an eyebrow.
A humble servant, you say? Would whatever his new name is humbly mind if we asked him a few questions?
The two hooded figures conferred in hushed voices, then turned back to Han and Lando.
You may pass.
Han, Free Rago's satellite motel, about 10 years ago. Chewie growled somewhere up ahead. It was a growl Han knew well, the one Chewie only used when he was fighting for his life. I'm coming, buddy, Han yelled, barreling down yet another dark motel corridor. But was he? The dank and tangled labyrinth had left him utterly turned around. The unceasing drips and creaks and howls of its denizens didn't help, and the constant barrage of homicidal droids Han had to dispatch made things downright chaotic. It sounded like Chewie was one floor up and somewhere in the next set of hallways, but Han couldn't be sure. Another pair of murderous red orbs appeared in the darkness ahead. Han sent a few blaster shots ahead of him, knocking the droid back. It lay in a crumpled heap by the time he reached it, but those lights were still illuminated, which meant... Ah! Han grunted as metal fingers clamped around his ankle.
I have captured you. You are my prisoner. I have accomplished a great victory in the battle.
Han blasted away, point blank, between the eyes until the droid shut up. It didn't let go, though. Up ahead, Chewie was still yelling, and now the sound of his bowcaster shredding again and again through air and steel filled the night. Dang! Useless piece of metal! Han growled, punctuating each word with a blast. He managed to sever the arm from the body, but still couldn't unwrap the damn thing's clamped fingers. Blaster fire erupted from somewhere else in the complex, farther ahead and down on the ground floor, Han thought, and there was a lot of it. "I'm coming, Chewie!" he yelled again, but then he slipped in a puddle of something nauseous and gooey and slammed against the wall, only barely managing not to wipe out completely. "Are there no janitors in this god-awful place?" Han yelled. The door beside him opened, spreading a sharp triangle of light across the shadows. A Gran poked his head out, those three black eyes squinting at Han from wrinkled, crusty stalks. "Oh, you're early," the Gran snorted, froth creeping out from the edges of his snout. What?
"The agency said they weren't going to send anyone until at least 0900. But that's fine. She's right in here."
He lowered his voice to a shrill whisper.
"Did you bring a stormtrooper outfit? She loves that."
"I think," Han said, "you got the wrong guy." All three of the Grand's eyes opened wide, then narrowed.
"Well, you'll have to do. Come on, then."
One shot into the wall beside the open door was enough for the Grand to get the point. It retreated with a litany of Malastarian curses and slammed the door. "Clean up your mess next time," Han yelled, slipping and sliding his way down the hall. The droid's dang hand still clutching his dang ankle certainly wasn't helping. "I'm coming, Chewie!" A huge form darkened the end of the hall. "Chewie?" Han gulped. The Wookiee yelped and started making his way toward Han. "Chewie! Whew, am I glad to see you. Wait, don't come down here. There's something..." Han hugged the wall, trying to ease his way past the slime spill. "Some slippery mess. We'll be cleaning this stuff off your pelt for weeks. Just hold off any of those maniac droids if they attack. I'll come to you." Farther off, the gun battle raged on as Han made his way down the corridor, finally got past the Ick, and then ran to Chewie. "Sounds like it's coming from that way," Han said as they raced down a flight of dingy stairs. Chewie roared in agreement and then blasted a droid limping toward them out of the hallway. "I don't think that was one of the evil kill-kill ones," Han pointed out as they scurried past its charred, smoking body. Chewie shrugged and muttered something about if it really mattered at this point. "Good point," Han said. The smell of laser fire and overheating metal mixed with the general foulness of Free Ragos as shouts and urgent comm transmissions got louder, and then Han and Chewie rounded a corner into an open courtyard. A squad of stormtroopers clustered at one end, letting loose with all they had. Their always abysmal aim sent a whirlwind of blaster shots slamming into plaster walls, grimy windows, fake ancient vases, and, occasionally, a stone fountain at the far end of the atrium where a towering figure in a dark green robe picked them off one by one with ruthless precision.
Grava, now.
"Your weapons, organics,"
one of the hooded men said as they stood panting at the top of the staircase. The forest had seemed to grow and encase them as they climbed, at times thickening to a density so opaque it felt like night had fallen. Here at this upper platform, though, the underbrush and dangling vines had given way to reveal the vast Graven savanna stretching out toward where the sun slowly dipped behind another mountain range far in the distance.
"Not how this is gonna go," Lando informed the hooded men.
"And who you calling organics?" Han said. "You don't sound like droids."
Lando and Han both took a step back as the two figures pulled away their cowls. One was a human man, his face pale and ratcheted with scars, an empty eye socket, and a corruption of stitches and filth where his nose should have been. The other was barely recognizable as a Quarren. Three of his facial tentacles had been torn off, and the remaining one was shredded to just a wisp of cartilage. Constellations of small, separating abrasions lined the skin around each of his pale blue eyes.
"I am 9-7 Saquons," the Quarren said in halting basic. "These is bracket 12-12.
The human bowed, a slight smirk lingering on his face.
We are servants of the Brotherhood of Wire and Bone. Through service and sacrifice, we have attained a level beyond simply organic. Although, of course, we will always have been born from a sinful womb of mortal and flawed flesh.
You too can one day attain a level beyond organic.
Breakit 1212 advised enthusiastically.
With service and sacrifice, of course.
9-7 Saquon's added.
I think we'll pass,
Hans said.
Where's Fast Hint?
The Quarren chuckled airily.
Your weapons, if you please.
We don't please, Lando said, drawing his blaster. And we're not interested in your creepy coat. Go get us Fast Hint and we'll be out of your way.
Both men squealed with delight.
A blaster,
Breakit crowed.
I don't like this,
Han muttered. The bushes around them rustled, and a mechanical whirr announced the presence of hooded forms. Bright red eyes glowing from beneath their cowls. Blaster rifles pointed at Han and Lando.
The brothers, they have deigned to visit the visitors.
Saquon screeched. Han and Lando passed over their blasters and raised their hands.
Well, all right,
Han said.
Why didn't you just ask for our blasters if that's what you wanted?
Greetings, organics,
one of the droids said in a listless monotone.
I am Balthamas, also known as Number 10. Of the original dozen.
He pulled back the hood with two grayish, bloated, and very human hands to reveal the expressionless metal face of a Class 1 medical droid.
We have been expecting you.
That's never good,
Han said.
We will escort you to the servant you seek.
See? Lando said. Everything's gonna be fine.
Han just shook his head and sighed.
Han, Free Rago's satellite motel, about 10 years ago. Behind you, Han yelled. Chewie dived out of the way and Han blasted where he'd just been standing. Once, twice, three times, and a droid flew backward with a scream, smashing into a wall and lying still. Chewie stood and growled his thanks, and they kept moving along the corridor as smoke and more blaster fire erupted from the courtyard. A whole wall had been shredded away, probably by a poorly tossed thermal detonator, and Han could just make out the shape of the tall, robed man letting loose with his blaster from behind the tinkling fountain. He couldn't get a clean shot, though. Keep going, Chewie. Let's see if we can... Watch out! Another droid came stomping out from an adjacent corridor. One of those walking box-type models. Blue sparks of electricity fizzling off its extended armatures. Chewie spun around, bashing the droid with one arm and then scooping it up with both and hurling it out into the courtyard, where it was immediately fried by blaster fire. Nice toss, Han said. Let's see if this corridor wraps us around behind the fountain. Chewie nodded, and they ducked past the open wall and then looped around to a smaller secondary courtyard behind the main one. The empty night sky and a million stars could be glimpsed beyond the row of stone pillars at the far end. They'd reached the very edge of Free Ragos. No wonder Gore had holed up here. He had nowhere else to run. An ancient stone wall with two open doorways separated this courtyard from where the Powan was making his last stand behind the fountain. Come on, Han whispered, signaling Chewie to come in behind Gore from the opposite side. Chewie soft-footed across the courtyard and raised his bowcaster, ready. Han nodded, and they both swung around through the empty doorways, weapons pointed directly at Gore's back. The tall Powan was crouched over something, his hands fidgeting frantically. It's over, Han said. Give up the phalanx. He rose and turned slowly around, arms raised. He had a blaster in one hand and something wrapped in fabric in the other. Lines reached down his long grayish face, and deep red splotches surrounded those black shining eyes. His upper lip curled into a cocky sneer that revealed all those messed up teeth pointing in every possible direction. "Over?" Gore hissed. "It's only just begun." "That's cute," Han said. "Now give us the..."
"Move, move, move!"
came the telltale Imperial yell from the other side of the fountain. The squad of stormtroopers had taken their opening and were about to burst out, blasters drawn. "Gore," Han said. That twisted sneer grew into a full-blown smile. Gore hurled the package into the air just as a whole squad of stormtroopers came rumbling around the fountain, blasters out. All eyes were glued to the package as it reached the height of its trajectory and then, instead of careening back down, shed its wrappings and with a tiny burst of ignition flame, launched further up toward the sky. And it would have kept going up and up and up and out past the open walls of the courtyard and into space if space itself hadn't been fully eclipsed by the gray metallic underside of a YT-1300 Corellian freighter. A tiny compartment opened on the underside of the Falcon, and Gore let out a howl so stark and wretched that Han peeled his gaze away from his own unfolding triumph just in time to see the Powan fall to his knees, blaster pointed toward the sky. The phalanx disappeared into the Falcon. Gore hurled shot after shot skyward, but then three stormtroopers piled on top of him as the rest took pot shots at the retreating Falcon. "Come on, Chewie," Han yelled, backing away from the carnage. They hurried into the rear courtyard as Han raised Sana on the comm. "We're at the far end of the atrium, behind that courtyard you just..." "Oh." The open sky was once again blotted out by the Falcon, this time the opening right in front of them between the gaudy pillars. Inside the cockpit, Sana waved enthusiastically. "Told you she's into me," Han snorted as they took off at a run and blaster shots screeched out behind them. Chewie just shook his head and roared.
Grava, now. Up some more winding stone stairwells, and down a few crumbling walking paths, shrouded in batiki tree fronds, an open plaza had been cleared amid the ancient forest fortress. Dark green-robed droids rolled, clunked, and clambered about the premises, chatting with one another, or nodding their heads in meditative dazes. In the center, a middle-aged man, with no shirt on and no arms, sat cross-legged, eyes closed.
"I present to you the humble servant 77 Dirgios,"
the droid called Balthamus stated blandly.
"Formerly known as Admiral Ruus Fastent. Be advised, through service and sacrifice, 77 Dirgios has attained the highest rank of the servants of the Brotherhood, and is considered only partially organic. You will treat him accordingly, that is, as a higher form of life than yourself when addressing him."
"The hell we will," Han growled.
"Or you will be destroyed,"
Balthamus amended.
"Well, I guess that settles that,"
Lando said. They walked across the plaza, their boots clanking heavily on the ornate stone facades, and stood before the armless ex-Imperial.
"Greetings," Lando said. "Honorable 77 Dirgios."
Han snorted. Lando elbowed him. 77 Dirgios opened his eyes, and to Han's relief, they were both there.
"Ah, the organics, of course."
Han squinted at him.
"Wait, didn't I break your nose at Frirago's once?"
Dirgios blinked, tensed, then seemed to force his face back to its serene gaze.
"Perhaps, But that was another lifetime. Today, you are welcome to our kingdom fortress, but of course, you won't be staying long.
Damn right, Hans said.
Can you tell us where to find the phalanx?
Lando asked. Giorgio scoffed.
Lando narrowed his eyes and clenched both fists, the body language Han had come to recognize as his old friend doing everything in his power not to whoop somebody.
You came, no doubt, expecting to find an asylum,
Giorgio said.
And yes, these hallowed grounds did indeed once house a refuge for the dreary and defeated and discarded. Those who did not possess the adequate constitution to withstand the rigors and traumas of life amid the imperial machinations.
Han looked at Lando with a this-guy-can't-be-serious scowl. But Lando kept his eyes on Giorgio's, probably for the best.
You didn't end up here because you couldn't find the phalanx?
Lando asked.
Quite the contrary,
Giorgio said.
I ended up here because I found Gore, and thus myself. And a purpose to this menial, desperate thread of life that I was leading. A forward thrust, you could say. Away from fetid, useless roots, and onward toward infinity. A higher state of being.
You guys really think you're droids now, huh?
Han said.
That's what this is all about?
Giorgios just smiled and shook his head.
Just like an organic to be so binary in their logic. A thing can be a thing and also not a thing, you know.
Han rubbed his eyes.
And to think I used to say the Force was wacky.
Regardless of why you're here,
Lando said, his voice radiating infinite patience, even if his body language spoke of vast, barely restrained acts of violence.
We need to find the phalanx. We followed your star maps from the time of Gore's imprisonment at Grimdark. We saw how you kept showing up too late or in the wrong sector, how the transmissions never gave away the phalanx's actual locations.
Ah! It is all quite as the great master had said it would be,
Giorgios mused.
So very precise our teacher is, I do have answers that you seek, but in order to attain them, I'm afraid you must join me in a test to determine if you are worthy. The power of the original dozen flows through all that we touch and are, you know.
He spun around with surprising agility and reached one leg out, grasping something between his toes, then turned back to Han and Lando.
Vazavir,
Giorgio said, plopping a small cloth sack in front of them.
The path of metal and bone will determine if you are worthy. Go ahead.
He motioned with his chin for Lando to empty the bag. Three ficus tumbled out amid an array of rusty bolts and screws. Giorgios looked up.
Are you a gambling man, Lando Calrissian?
Lando frowned, shaking his head, and scratched his goatee.
Can't say that I am, he said, sighing. It never made much sense to me, I'm afraid.
Han did everything he could not to roll his eyes.
That's really a shame,
Giorgio said earnestly.
We of the Brotherhood allow the subtle motions of the galaxy to determine our every move, recognizing we exist amid a vast, unintelligible sprawl of life and mechanics. And that while there is a secret direction to the ways of the world, and it does flow endlessly toward the end of organics and rise of the droids, We cannot always detect that movement.
So,
Lando's voice grew trembly, uncertain.
You want me to make a wager?
Of course, friend, but not money. No.
Then what?
Your limbs, of course. Sacrifice and service, you know, is not a metaphor. And while you may think if you lose both arms, it will be a tragedy, the truth is, of course, it is a gift. You attain a level of servanthood much closer to the sacred state of mechanics.
I think I'll pass. How about some credits instead?
Dergios' crude chuckle erupted into a sputtering cough. Lando and Han both leaned away from the splatter.
Excuse! It is knowledge you seek, Information. That is why you have come to the Moon of Grava, second origin station of the Brotherhood.
Yes,
Lando said.
Information does not come cheap. Your silly organic currency means nothing to us in the Brotherhood, friend. But limbs... Ah, yes, limbs we can use. And it will be useful to you as well, of course. And imagine what four new limbs will do for our humble colony of...
Four?
Lando narrowed his eyes.
I thought you said just my arms.
Dergios closed his eyes and grinned.
Both of you come seeking knowledge, no?
Now hold on a minute,
Han seethed.
If it is both of you who come seeking knowledge, it is both of you who must put your limbs on the line to pay the price.
Han shook his head.
I don't like this.
Sure, Lando was bluffing about not being a gambling man, but that didn't make Han like the odds anymore.
Don't worry, old buddy,
Lando chided unconvincingly.
I got this.
You hate gambling,
Han said.
We should go.
Let us begin,
Dergios said, placing his foot over the screw bolts and moving them in circles on the ground. Lando picked up the ficus and scooched forward, leaning over with a nervous grin.
I think I remember how this is done. Saw it a few years ago at a pilot's dock off Chandrilla.
Dergios hummed.
Allow yourself to give over to the sway of the galaxy, the endless circuitry and slow decline of flesh amid it. Give over.
Behind Han and Lando, two spinning razor saws screeched to life.
Oh, that's good,
Han said.
Not distracting at all.
Pay no mind,
Dergios muttered, still shoving around the screw bolts under his foot.
No mind. Give over to the sway. The galaxy calls. Your destiny calls.
Lando's eyebrows were arched, his jaw set. Beads of sweat appeared on his temple. Han began to wonder if he was really running a con on Dergios after all.
Release!
Dergios cried, pulling his leg away. Lando opened his hand. The three ficus clattered down amid the rusted metal parts. Han glared at the board. The octopent, the fica that meant Lando takes all, lay closest to Lando, amid a pile of screws. In fact, all the screws were over near him. The neuronaut and malcontent lay in an empty spot mid-board. Han exhaled. The razor saws stopped whirring. Lando smiled. Dergios narrowed his eyes.
Beginner's luck, I guess.
Lando shrugged.
Now.
Best of three,
Dergios said slowly.
What?
Lando growled.
That wasn't the...
The host didn't make a designation about how many games we would play, did it?
Han stood.
Why, you low-life Imperial scum!
The good news,
Giorgio said graciously,
is if you land the Neuronaut twice, we only take one of each of your arms,
Lando put a finger in Dergios's smiling face.
You know damn well this isn't how it's done. We played your little game. Now tell us what we need to know.
I will, Rebel. Once the path of metal and bone has been determined that you are worthy, it is a fact that the house did not determine the number of games. Please be seated, Mr. Solo.
Han sat, the festering unease within him threatening to unravel into all-out panic. He fought it back. If they had to make a run for it, they would. That's all there was to it. The razor saws screeched back into a frenzied spin, and the droids wielding them took one step closer. Lando frowned, casting Han an uneasy glance. This wasn't part of the plan, clearly. Giorgios placed his foot back on the screws and began spreading them around the ground again.
Release!
He yelled, taking his leg away after what felt like way too short an amount of time. Lando pulled his eyes from Han and concentrated on his fist.
Release, I said,
Giorgios whispered. Lando stammered. Then he opened his fingers. The ficus fell with a clutter, this time all landing nearly on top of one another in the center. The Neuronaut rolled off the other two and turned over twice, landing right in front of Lando amid one or two screw bolts. Han blinked at it, grinding his teeth.
Criff, Lando muttered.
The droids will be pleased with this development,
Development?
Lando scowled.
The house said best of three. As far as I can see, this just makes us even.
Giorgios conceded the point with a frowning nod and began shuffling the screw bolts again beneath his foot.
I don't like this,
Han whispered. Lando grimaced.
At least we finally got on the same page about something.
You do know what you're doing, right, Lando?
Lando cocked his head, eyebrows raised.
Great,
Han muttered.
Great.
Enough chatter!
Giorgios hollered excitedly.
Release!
Lando's whole face became a clenched fist as he maneuvered onto his haunches and leaned all the way over the board. With a clink and clatter of metal, the ficus fell. Han turned his wide eyes to the mess of screw bolts and bone fragments. The occupant lay right in front of Lando once again, this time all by itself. Han sat back, suppressed a victory yelp. Giorgios's left eye twitched as he scanned the board, then looked sharply up at Lando.
Bah!
He scattered the ficus and screw bolts with a sloppy thrust of his foot.
Thought we would get at least a set of arms for the masters.
I believe you have some information to give us, Lando said with a grin.
Han, the Millennium Falcon, about 10 years ago. Have I ever told you, Han panted, lying on his back on the floor of the Falcon's main cabin, that you look beautiful when you show up at the last minute and save my life? No, Sana said, and I hope you never do. That's a creepy line. Han sat up. Why is it creepy? Chewie, also out of breath and leaning against the far wall, growled something about getting a room. No one asked you, furball, Han snapped. Anyway, Sana said, moving right along. Nice work, fellas. You've really earned your cut. She flashed a winning smile, the device cradled under her arm. What is that thing, anyway? Han asked. Sana shrugged, holding it up for closer inspection. I don't know.
She tossed it to Han, who fumbled it a few times but managed to keep from dropping it. Don't care, really. It's get us all out of debt money, is what it is. That's all I need. Chewie hollered his approval. Han scrunched up his face at it. The thing was heavier than it should have been for its size. Old charred metal locked into overlapping layers on each side of it, like someone had peeled away parts of a battle-scarred tank and welded them into a clunky box. Doesn't look like much. Yeah, well, Sana started, then the Falcon rumbled around them. Ah, that would be my friends attaching to our airlock, I'd say. Han stood up. Your friends? Sana mumbled something. Chewie groaned. It's funny, Han said, without smiling, because I'm pretty sure you just said something about the droid Gotra, and I'm absolutely positive there is no way you'd be dumb enough to get mixed up with them, so they offered the biggest bounty for it, so I accepted. What's a girl to do? These guys. Han shook his head. Relax, flyboy, Sana said, peering in the mirror. These guys care more about this device than any debt you may owe them. Believe me, it's got some creepy mythic significance to them, and the airlock spun open, and a heavily armed team of bounty hunters spilled out, blasters drawn. This again? Han grumbled.
Greetings,
a slippery, grotesque voice said from the airlock. Gorbin Frack's thick, glistening fingers grasped the wall on either side of the airlock, followed by his widely grinning, tusk-encircled face. Several thick globs of something gooey dangled from the mane of tentacles squirming around his neck and shoulders. You're dripping all over the upholstery, Han pointed out.
I believe, Gorbin drawled, you have something that belongs to me.
I believe you owe me an incredibly large sum of money before it becomes yours, Sana said. Gorbin chuckled in a sloppy, congested baritone.
Who has guns on who?
He finally said. Good question. Sana drew her blaster. Chewie did the same. Han surreptitiously slid the device between his back and the wall and drew his blaster. There, Sana snapped. Everybody has guns on everybody. And we made a deal. No money, no weird little device. Gorbin shook his huge head.
You have much to learn, young Staris. Much to learn.
You're not pulling that much-to-learn crap with me, Gorbin. I grew up on Nar Shaddaa. This is not how any of this works.
You won't kill me,
Gorbin assured her.
And these beings, they are expendable, and they know it. It's their job to be expendable. Give me the device.
We stashed it somewhere already, Sana said. You'll never find it if we're dead. Gorbin laughed, but then the Falcon rumbled again. A ship had landed on top of it.
You invited another group to this handoff?
He demanded. Handoff? Sana scoffed. I think you mispronounced armed robbery.
Who is there?
Gorbin roared.
That's it. Mulu. We'll see.
A disgruntled Ithorian and a Zabrak in a ridiculous metal hat grunted and headed for the far end of the Falcon. They'd reached the tubular corridor when blaster fire hurled out, shredding through them both. Masked, mech-suited goons from the Parappa cartel poured onto the Falcon's deck, bayoneted blaster rifles drawn and smoking. They spread out in attack formation, and then Mozin, now in his full-body mech suit too, clomped out and stood in the center of the room.
This is standoff ends here,
he declared. The helmet slid open just enough for Mozin's tiny head to poke out, wink at Sana, and then disappear again.
Mozin,
Gorbin chuckled airily.
Thou is so dramatic, my friend. You didn't have to fly two of my men now. Come now.
The artifact is mine,
Mozin said flatly. Okay, everyone calm down, Han said, still squeezing the device against the wall. You guys are gonna mess up all my nice interior decorating if this keeps up.
It belongs to me. We staked out the diner, and these scoundrels in the Parappa cartel have reached an understanding. Yes?
Mosin, Sana said.
Drop your weapons, puny fools,
Gorbin snarled.
This has gone on long enough. The device belongs to the droid Gotra, and I have claimed it on their behalf. This is the end of the story.
He nodded at one of his beings, who let off a single shot in the nearest Parapagoon. Oh, here we go, Han muttered, ducking behind a table as blaster fire tore back and forth across the Falcon. From nearby, Chewie roared at him to stay down. I am staying down, Han called back. You stay! A body crashed to the ground with a clatter and thud right in front of where Han was crouched. Great. Stop shooting, Sana yelled. Miraculously, the blaster fire silenced. Han peered over the table, saw Sana stand up from behind a crate she ducked behind. Her perfectly done hair had come loose, and a few locks hung in front of her face as she glowered out at the two warring factions. If you don't both stop fighting, I swear by everything that is sacred, no one will get the device.
You wouldn't dare,
Gorbin moaned.
It is a bluff,
Mosin declared. Sana Staros doesn't bluff, Sana said. Now, Gorbin! We had a deal. You will honor that deal and pay what you owe.
Plus an added 15% to a me,
Mosin said.
For the trouble I have gone through, yes?
Trouble?
Gorbin howled.
You just massacred four of my guys in cold blood.
Your guys shut first, I remind you.
And what?
Gorbin said.
We'll do it again.
Han stood. He crept along the wall toward where a small garbage chute led out to an airlock at the far end of the ship.
I like this.
Mosin sent a blaster shot across the room, smashing another of Gorbin's bounty hunters into a wall near Han. He ducked down and then crept a few feet farther until he was under the trash chute.
Treachery!
Gorbin yelled.
Destroy these miniature barbarians!
Sana sighed. See? Blaster fire erupted again. Han reached up, pushed a few buttons to open the trash chute. This was what Sana had said would happen, and she'd obviously been trying to give him a signal. This was teamwork at its finest. He stood, yelled, "Say goodbye to your device, scumbags!" When everyone turned to look, he shoved the damn thing into the chute. For a few seconds, everyone just stared at him.
Fool!
Gorbin muttered, whirling around with the men he had left and storming off the ship.
You are half-wit!
Mosin screeched, sending an errant blaster shot toward Han. Han dived out of the way.
After it!
The Parappa cartel bustled back out the way they'd come in.
Grava, now.
It is quite shocking to think now, of course.
7-7 Dirgios said, once he'd regained his composure.
But I tortured the one you call Fison Gore for days and days on end, did you know? Tried every method known to the Empire, and several I had learned from my time with Hutz. The man would not break.
Dirgios shook his head, shrugged his armless shoulders.
And of course, I understand now, but at the time it was confounding. The interrogator droid wouldn't even go near him. Never saw anything like it. And you know, perhaps, gentlemen, a strange simpatico can develop between the torturer and his subject, yes? The torturer thinks he is peeling away the layers of the victim, but of course, he is also peeling away his own layers.
And now you have no arms, Han said. Can you jump to the point?
Dirgios flashed a serene and punchable smile.
The droids are holy visitors among us. We organics, and even semi-organics, we are corrupt from the point of conception. A fouled and brass collection of mutilated flesh, deteriorating always, and propelling ourselves with our own sinful insolence toward extinction.
the point? Han reminded Dergios with a growl.
That is the point, Organic,
Dergios said, anger flashing suddenly across his otherwise calm face.
That's the point that Fize and Gore instilled in us. That's the point of all this.
He gestured with one of his stumps at the quiet stone-carved fortress.